Well, it is a great blessing today that we get to celebrate a solemnity on a Sunday. That doesn't normally happen. Normally we wear green and it's ordinary time, but the church every now and then interrupts our calendar with one of these special feasts. And today we celebrate one of the greatest saints in the church, St. John the Baptist. Now, we all think we know a little bit about St. John the Baptist, but today I'd like to tie in why I think John the Baptist was really probably one of the first Boy Scouts. Now, I know we weren't founded until much later, but if we're looking for biblical evidence of Boy Scouts, I think John the Baptist is a pretty good candidate. Because, first of all, what do we see St. John doing? Well, it says that rather than stay in the city with everybody else, John the Baptist decided to go out to the wilderness, where he could be away from the city. Kind of sounds like us. There are perfectly good bathrooms in the city right now, but we're here. Because that's what scouts do. We get away from everything that would be nice, like, air conditioning and actual running and flushing toilets. We actually desire this, to come out away from it all. You have to be a little bit crazy, and I think maybe John the Baptist and us, we've got a little bit in common. Because we do like to kind of test ourselves a little bit and get away. But notice also, John the Baptist is eating crazy food in the wilderness. He's eating locust and wild honey. We kind of do stuff like that too. We like to get away from all the nice food back in the city and come out in the middle of the wilderness, and sometimes we cook all of our food merely by boiling a couple cups of water and dumping it all together, and we call that good because we're scouts, or even what we have in the dining hall here. We don't know what to call that, but we're scouts. And so we like that because we're scouts. John the Baptist, also wearing funny clothes, says he was wearing camel's hair and leather, and well, we kind of go around wearing funny clothes too, but we do it all together, so we look all pretty cool here on Sunday morning, if I do say so myself. But yeah, we've got crazy things hanging off us all over the place, even though we've got our new high-tech uniforms now, but you know, it's got that little technology pocket thing, which is really cool on your sleeve, although it's also got a hole for the water to drain out if you get it wet. I would think it would have been better to make the technology pocket waterproof. In my opinion. But we've got all these crazy things that we wear because we're scouts. And so I've got a pocket on my pants that is actually three pockets in one because that's what we do. We wear crazy clothes. So I think John the Baptist, with the food, the clothes, the getting out of the way from it all, he really wanted to be a Boy Scout. It's just that Andrew Powell hadn't come along yet. But John the Baptist, I think, was maybe one of the first Boy Scouts. But if we look at what he did and what we do, it's not just that he was maybe a good scout in his day, but there's something there that kind of gets all of us. It's maybe not so crazy that he would want to come out here and get away from the city a little bit. There's something about getting away that gives us that time to think. You know, it was really when I got out to camp that for the first time maybe I had a chance to be quiet, to get away from the TV and the noise of all the radios and everything back home. And you get out here and there's just something special about having some time to think. John the Baptist knew that he needed that time, and I think all of us, whether we know it or not, that's part of what draws us back to the hills of Osceola. There's something special about this place. People that would come, they're going to come down on Visitor's Day today, and it's probably going to be 100 degrees. That road is not going to be able to be seen. There's going to be so much dust. Your mom is going to come here and they can say, "You like this stuff?" Like, "Yeah, Mom, I love it." Sometimes moms don't just understand this stuff. You really get down to, why are we here? We know why we're here. Plastic. Little beads. That's why we come here. It's true. Well, it's not just the little beads, but moms really do not understand that stuff. Because I remember, she thought it was okay when I was young, but then I kept coming back. This is my 26th year of being a scout. And as I started to get older, my mom and my dad would look at me going off to camp, and they'd be like, "What are you doing?" Like, "I gotta go, Mom." Like, is this about one of those plastic things? "Mom, it's not just a plastic thing. It's coveted, Mom. It's really important, okay? I've gotta go back, because if I don't go back to the reservation, I can't put on another pair of coveted coos. They're plastic, right, son?" And then I'm trying to explain paint. "Oh my goodness. Mom, it's not just plastic this year. Oh yeah, you're one of those fire starter people, aren't you? No, I'm a fire builder, but I'm going to become a tom-tom beater this year. And then the next year, when I had to go back, like, didn't you get the tom-tom banging thing last year? Like, oh, no, but you don't want to get stuck there, Mom. You can't be a tom-tom beater forever. You got to go back because you're, like, this close to being a runner, and you definitely don't want to get stuck being a tom-tom beater. So you got to keep coming back. And by the time you come back to be a runner, you might as well be a keeper of the Sacred Bundle. And so I'm actually a keeper of the Sacred Bundle, Silver Seal. I used to be the aquatics director, so that's the seal part, and keeper of the Sacred Bundle is because I like plastic and paint, and you know, that's really why we do this. Obviously, that's not really why we do this. And that's, there's something that after you start coming back, Adriel Barr knew what he was doing, because he gets you out here, and there's something that if you're willing to come back that second, third, fourth summer, you look around at your leaders that have been coming back way, way longer than me. There's a magic out here, but it's a magic that God put in us, that we know, like John the Baptist, we've got to get out into the wilderness a little bit to hear God's voice, certainly, but also to test ourselves a little bit, to come out here without much of anything and say, okay, we can make it. And, you know, summer camp, we have a lot of stuff, but one of my favorite places to be is Philmont. How many people have been to Philmont? Yeah. Anybody going this summer? All right. Yeah, a couple weeks. Excellent. Philmont is kind of like one of those places when you really, you've got it. And you want to go and say, you know what, even that stuff I do at summer camp, that's too much stuff. I want to go out, I want to be way far away. And I want to take everything that I need and carry it on my back. Now, Boy Scouts, we're a little countercultural, because in a society that says stuff is what will make you happy, how many times do we at least implicitly hear that? All these commercials. Buy this, you will be happy. You need more stuff. Get more money, buy more stuff, you will be happy. I think we as scouts, we're a little counterculture, and then we know that that's not really true. In fact, we do exactly the opposite. We say, you know what? I'm going to try to go live with as little stuff as possible for 12 days. And I'm going to go off into the mountains and try to be as isolated as possible and carry everything on my back for 12 days. Society would say we are crazy. I mean, we don't even get any plastic out of that. I mean, you get a nice little arrowhead patch at the end, but it's not even like you get a bead or anything. We would be crazy were it not for the fact that we got it. You get out there at Philmont, and there's just something there that people find God. I think that's why I love being a scout chaplain. Because if I could just give other people the experience that we have as scouts, it would be so much easier for them to know God. Much as I love to celebrate Mass here in the Chapel of the 12 Apostles, one of my favorite places that I've been able to have Mass is out on a rock in the backcountry of Philmont. To know that it's just us and God out there. One of my favorite moments of all scouting was my last trek that I made to Philmont. We've been hiking all day, and you guys probably know the place at Cypher's Mine. You know, you come down off of Big Mount Phillips and down into the valley, down to the camp. There's really nothing there. And it hit me one day that we had got our camp all set up, and there in the cabin, we start to realize that the staff that lives out at Philmont, that they're legit. They really don't have any electricity. You go in their little cabin at Philmont, and they've got oil lamps with candles and a wood-burning stove, and they live that way all summer. And I remember sitting on the front porch one day at Cypher's Mine after a long day I hiked in, and the rain kind of started to come down on the roof, a little tin roof, and somebody pulled out their guitar and harmonica, and well, we were just sitting there and singing songs, and it kind of hit me at that point that I don't have anything here with me. Harmonica, guitar, and rain on a tin roof in the middle of nowhere. You know what? I was happy. I was probably happier at that moment than I'd ever been in my whole life. And I couldn't exactly even tell you why. But it was just this calmness that, you know, you don't need a lot of stuff. God takes care of us. God gives us everything we need. And sometimes all this stuff actually gets in the way of receiving what God wants to give us. Never forgot that day out there on that porch. And to some extent, when the rain starts to come down on the roof of this chapel and our cabin, I start to think back to those days and wonder when my next trip to Philmont will be or when I'm heading back to camp. I say that today because on this feast, of the birth of St. John the Baptist. His birthday, notice. We know everything about John the Baptist that he did later. We celebrate his birthday, though, only because of what he later became. If John the Baptist hadn't done anything, if he was just a guy, we wouldn't celebrate his birthday today. The people in the scriptures, when John is born, ask that beautiful question, what then will this child be? What will he be? Because they could see all the signs. In a lot of ways, I love being with you this morning, especially you first year. How many are here for the first time? Yeah. 22 years ago, that was me, sitting right where you are. And I have to wonder, what will become of you? What will you be? Because we can't see it right now. Nobody knew what John the Baptist exactly would be on the day of his birth. But yet, I sat right where you're sitting for the first time 22 years ago. And it was the furthest thing from my mind to ever think that one day I'd be on the other side of this altar. But yet, here I am. It's amazing what God can do if we just say yes and give him the time. John the Baptist was that kind of guy. He gave himself totally to God. You know, I know the real secret to John's happiness and the secret to why I think we as scouts are so happy. John knew that his life was not about him. Say that again. John knew that his life was not about him. What was John doing? He says, I must decrease so that Jesus may increase. His whole life was to point to somebody else. He says, I am just a voice. There's the Lamb of God. Don't pay attention to me. Pay attention to him. That's humility. That's unselfishness. That's somebody who knows what his mission is. I think in many ways we as scouts are so happy in life because we have found that trying to get more for us doesn't make us happy, but actually serving other people makes us happy. To do that service, to do the good turn daily, pretty soon it doesn't take long as a scout to realize, I like doing that. I like helping other people. That's a special thing when you realize that. Some of you that are here for your first time, maybe just tenderfoot scouts, maybe you're not quite there yet. But I'll never forget the day my scoutmaster sat down with me, my scoutmaster conference for my first class rank. And he said, Sean, now that you're first class, it's time to start giving back. Scouting's not just about you anymore, it's about what you're going to give. I never forgot that. I was only 13 years old at the time. But from that moment on, it's always been in my mind, I got to give back. Now, I'd only been a scout 3 or 4 years at that point. Now I've been a scout 20 years, and I spent most of that giving back. I hope that like John the Baptist, all of you can realize that beautiful truth that your life is not just about you. You are not the center of the world. Your life, too, is meant to point to somebody else. It gives me great joy to be with you here this morning because I see in you the great future. What will you be? I don't know, but it makes me excited to think in the midst of our society that needs people like you so much that you're here. We need the courage that John had to speak the bold words that our society needs to hear. And I think scouts are the ones especially to do that. What will you be? I like being with you because it's all open. You can be whatever God calls you to be. And there's nothing that stands in the way. Who knows? Maybe some of you one day will be behind this altar. Maybe God is calling some of you to be priests, to be good husbands, fathers. I just leave you with this thought. When you dream about what it is that you want to be, a lot of times we think of sports figures, celebrities that we see on TV, and I see how hard you all work to be great athletes. You practice and practice and practice all these sports. It makes me sad sometimes, though, to see that sometimes we shortchange scouts because of that. Sometimes I'll have a troop of 25 guys, and when it comes time to go camping, maybe 2 or 3 go because, well, I've got sports. Scouts tend to take a back burner. But I just want you to think about this. All those sports figures that you idolize, only a handful of people ever go on to be professional athletes. Is the next Michael Jordan sitting in this chapel this morning? Probably not. Probably not. Is the next great football player here? Is Peyton Manning here? I don't know. Probably not. But what I can tell you is probably, without fail, the next great scoutmasters. Maybe sitting right here. Maybe you. The next great leaders. The next great chieftains in the tribe of Nicosay. I bet they're all sitting right here this morning. And maybe you're here for your first time. Let scouts be that great blessing that maybe people don't understand why you love it so much. But keep coming back. Keep doing it. And maybe 22, 26 years from now, you won't be able to put it into words. But you'll say, scouts is the most meaningful thing in my life. I'm happy to share that craziness with you this morning. And pray that God will continue to bless you in the scouting days ahead. And if there's anything that I can do for you, I'd be happy to assist you. May God bless us at this great feast of John the Baptist, the first Boy Scout. May we continue in his great tradition of leading others to Jesus.